Okay, all right, all right. We continue our journey to the cross. That's the theme of the Lenten season. Journey to the cross with this in mind. Jesus first made his journey to the cross so that we can make our journey. He first made his journey to the cross where he lived, or he died, and then he lived. 3 days later, he lives now at the right hand of the Father. He's back in heaven with his Father, interceding for all of us. It's pretty cool to think about that he is interceding for us. He's praying for us. And he sees us. He knows us. We see here in the Gospel of Mark, looking at our text, chapter 8, 34 through 38, that Jesus is asking his disciples, he asks them, who do people say that I am? It's around the Caesarea Philippi area. And he just takes time and he says, hey guys, who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets. And then he says, what about you guys? Who do you say I am? Peter speaks up, you are the Son of the living God. You're the Christ. And so that's kind of just before us. We also see next that Jesus tells them that he must suffer, but that he will be raised 3 days later. He actually tells them. He says, guys, I'm going to be persecuted, but 3 days later I'm going to be exalted. I'll be raised again. He tells them outright. And then he tells them this in our text, and this is what he says. He says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said this. This is what he said. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, so long ago, well, you shared this with your disciples, the 12, that in turn shared it with others. And down the line, we were privileged, honored to hear the same message from your word, the gospel message, the good news of. And Lord, we thank you for that good news this morning. Help us to understand a little bit about what you said then, what you say to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you can hear the call of Jesus and the invitation of Jesus in this text, first to his disciples, but also to us this morning. Whoever wants to be my disciple, if anyone would come after me, is another translation. If anyone would come after me. Notice the call begins with Christ, not us. Jesus does not ask us to go anywhere he has not gone first. He went first for you and for me. He went to his cross first for you and then for me. Invitation is relational. Come after me. Be my disciple. Discipleship is not self-improvement. It's following the crucified one. Once again, Jesus has just predicted his own suffering and death. The cross is not an accident in Jesus' life. It's his mission. He's on mission. The Father gave him mission. He said, it's time to go. At just the right time, the Apostle Paul writes, he came at just the right time. He's come to reveal the Father and to us and to die on the cross for our sins. Before he ever speaks of our cross, he speaks and reveals his. I shared this last Sunday from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. When Christ calls a man or a woman, we could put there, of course. When Christ calls a man, bids him come and die. Why would he want him to come and die right away? It's not a physical death. It's a spiritual death. It's a death to self. That's what this text is about as well. Bonhoeffer isn't glorifying suffering. He's saying discipleship is shaped by the cross of Christ. It's a crucified and cross-shaped life. We die to the illusion of self-rule and self-exaltation because Christ has already died for us. This is from Romans chapter 5 from the Apostle Paul. He said this, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us, you and me. The cross Jesus bears is the foundation of our cross-bearing. Jesus went to the cross. He was on mission. He did it voluntarily. This is and was His mission. It was to be born to die, but not to stay dead. 3 days later, Jesus doesn't die merely to show us how it is His saving act that makes our following possible. It's what He accomplished through the cross and through His resurrection. By bearing His cross, He makes it possible for us to bear ours, to take ours up. Verse 31 of Mark 8 says, the Son of Man must suffer. The Son of Man must suffer. The must suffer is a divine necessity, meaning God intended it this way. The sinless one must be persecuted and suffer for us, and then to go to the cross. The cross was one of the most cruelest forms of death that ever was. And Jesus chose, and yet in the garden, Jesus, who is 100% man, 100% God at the same time, in His humanness, He said, Father, is there any other way? But not my will, Lord, but Your will be done. And He gave Himself to be crucified on that cross for you and I. It's a divine necessity. Martin Luther, concerning the cross, said this, the cross of Christ is the only instruction of God, the only true theology. For Luther, the cross is where God reveals Himself most clearly. Gerhard Forty agrees. He says this, the word of the cross kills and makes alive. The word of the cross kills and makes alive. It crucifies the old being in anticipation of the new. The cross is our theology. We don't take up our cross to earn God's favor. We take it up because Christ has already secured it and taken it up for us, before us. He first took up His cross so that we might take ours. Chad Bird's reflection, the cross is not God's plan B. It is the place where God has always intended to meet us. It's not a plan B. It's always been plan A from the very beginning of the foundations of the earth. The Father, from the very beginning in Genesis 3:15, the good news, the seed of a woman would come, and that was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be the anointed one, the crucified one, would go to the cross for us to die and to live for us. The cross is God's chosen meeting place with sinners. And our cross-bearing is never done alone. It's always done in the shadow of His. What does it mean to take up a cross? Here it is again from the text. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Not necessarily suffering for suffering's sake. A cross is not a random hardship, a burden necessarily. A cross is anything we endure because we belong to Jesus. So what does it mean to take up a cross? Sometimes it's hard to define. But a cross is anything we endure because we're a Christ follower. Anything can be a cross that we take up. It can be a burden, yes. It could be suffering, yes. It could be sickness, yes. Illness, yes. It could be a broken relationship, yes. It could be just living in the world that we live in, the culture that surrounds us is so dark. That could be a cross that we take up. Because you are the light of the world. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And you're called to live in this dark world as that light and point others to the light. And that's Jesus himself. That could be your cross. So Jesus says here, deny yourself. Meaning, our nature is sinful. It's inwardly bent. We're the ones on the throne. I know we're born that way, and it's tough sometimes. We could see it in the babies. They cry because they need something. We could see it in a two-year-old because they... What is it? The terrible twos? Is that what we call it? Yeah. We could see it in a two-year-old. We could see it in adults, young children, middle school, doesn't matter. We can see it because we're human. We're born with the original sin. We're born with that inward bent. And yet... Here's the good news. Jesus Christ touches your heart. You hear the gospel. You hear the good news of Christ. He touches your heart. He gives you a new heart, not a heart of stone. He gives you a heart of flesh. Makes you a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You're a brand new creation in Christ. So deny myself is to point myself to Jesus. I'm going to recruit the Apostle Paul once again. Listen to these words. He helps us a little bit with this human sinful nature and our new nature, our new created nature in Christ. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me, the life I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He also said this, I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And then this from 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That's how we deny ourselves. We believe, we trust in what Christ did for us. Denying ourselves is not self-hatred, but it's surrendering the illusion that we are our own saviors. We have only one savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Denying ourselves is the daily dethroning of the self so Christ may reign. Following Jesus is not about strength, it's about dependence. It's about a daily dying to self and saying to Jesus, Jesus, you lead. You take the reins. Help me to follow, to believe and to trust and to follow you because of what you did for me. Thank you for that. I can't do it in my own strength. I'm left to myself. I want to reign. I want to be the king. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to have the glory for all that I do and say and think. But I know that's not right. I need to trust you. I need to follow you. God, would you help me to do that? Help me to follow. Help me to believe. Help me to trust. I can't do this on my own. You've got to lead. I know you're the vine. I'm just a branch. Just a branch. But I'm attached to you by faith. And I can't bear fruit on my own. I can try apples, oranges. I can't do it. But with you, I can bear fruit because it's your fruit. And then that fruit can bless others. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. This is the Apostle Paul again, Romans. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives, he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Amen. That's not the end. Jesus then asks the most pressing question. What can anyone give in exchange for his soul in this text? What can you give for exchange for your soul? What do you got? Gold? Nope, not going to take it. Silver? No. Food? No, I ain't taking it. Clothing? No. What can you give in exchange for your soul? Only the cross can answer that question. Only the cross can answer that question. The cross redefines value. The world measures success by gain. Jesus measures life by surrender. Bonhoeffer was speaking in America and could have stayed there during the war. He was over here in America talking to the different churches and speaking, sharing Jesus with people. He would remember he was the German pastor that came over to America. But then he returned to Germany from the safety in America. He was saved. America, but he returned to Germany because he believed following Christ meant standing with the suffering church. They were suffering over there. Christians were suffering. Jewish people were being killed. They were suffering. So Bonhoeffer said, I'm going back. I need to be with my countrymen. They need Jesus. I need to be back there. So he joined the confessing church. He resisted the Nazi regime. Regime. And ultimately was imprisoned and executed. He did not seek martyrdom. He sought faithfulness. His courage was not rooted in his own strength, but in Christ, who had already borne the cross for him. His life embodied his own words. The cross is laid on every Christian. Bonhoeffer's cross-bearing flowed from the deep truth. Christ had first borne the cross for him. Christ had first borne the cross for him. We carry our cross because Christ first carried his. So Jesus is not asking us to do what he refused to do. He bore the ultimate cross, so ours would never be a payment for sin. He paid for the sin. We don't have to pay for it. We just have to trust and believe. Our cross is not a path to salvation. It's the fruit of salvation. We follow the crucified one because he already rescued us. And here's the promise of verse 38. Jesus will not be ashamed of those who cling to his cross. The cross we carry now will give way to the crown he gives then. So we continue our journey to the cross because he first journeyed there for us. Thank you, Jesus. For doing that for us. Amen.